Blog Talk Radio.
Sir Robert Peel entered the British Cabinet Office for the first time as Home Secretary in 1822, where he reformed and liberalised the criminal law and created the modern police force, leading to a new type of officer, known in tribute to him as Bobbies and Peelers. Each officer that adopts the nine Peelian principles and their departments are securely listed, showing the public and their communities that the change is in. The nine Peelian principles. The power of the police coming from the common consent of the public as opposed to the power of the state. It does not mean the consent of an individual. No individual can choose to withdraw his or her consent from the police or from a law. Peelian principle number one. To prevent crime and disorder as an alternative to their repression by military force and severity of legal punishment. Peelian principle number two. To recognize always that the power of the police to fulfill their functions and duties is dependent on public approval of their existence, actions and behavior, and on their ability to secure and maintain public respect. Peelian principle number three. To recognize always that to secure and maintain the respect and approval of the public means also the securing of the willing cooperation of the public in the task of securing observance of the laws. Peelian principle number four. To recognize always that the extent to which the cooperation of the public can be secured diminishes proportionately the necessity of the use of physical force and compulsion for achieving police objectives. Peelian principle number five. To seek and preserve public favor, not by pandering to the public opinion, but by constantly demonstrating absolutely impartial service to the law, in complete independence of policy, and without regard to the justice or injustice of the substance of individual laws, by ready offering of individual service and friendships to all members of the public without regard to their wealth or social standing, by ready exercise of courtesy and friendly good humor, and by ready offering of individual sacrifice in protecting and preserving life. Peelian principle number six. To use physical force only when the exercise of persuasion, advice, and warning is found to be insufficient to obtain public cooperation to an extent necessary to secure observance of law or to restore order, and to use only the minimum degree of physical force which is necessary on any particular occasion for achieving a police objective. Peelian principle number seven. To maintain at all times a relationship with the public that gives reality to the historic tradition that the police are the public and that the public are the police. The police being only members of the public who are paid to give full-time attention to duties which are incumbent on every citizen in the interests of community welfare and existence. Peelian principle number eight. To recognize always the need for strict adherence to police executive functions and to refrain from even seeming to usurp the powers of the judiciary or avenging individuals or the state, and of authoritatively judging guilt and punishing the guilty. Peelian principle nine. To recognize always that the test of the police efficiency is the absence of crime and disorder and not the visible evidence of police action in dealing with them. Bring back trust and respect.
Ladies and gentlemen, please sit back because you are now about to go behind the blue curtain.
All right, here we go. Harvey's in the house, Tammy's in the house. up there. And of course, my people down there in Waco stood behind me, supporting me 25 years, been in my corner. I'm telling you, some of the best people I ever met in my life. Taught me a lot, they with me, good and bad. This is not my show, this is our show. On here, we keep it real. It's not your grandfather's radio show on here. You will hear colorful metaphors or expletives, better known as curse words. We don't use the C word, the B word, the N word. And when I curse, I put a dollar in the curse jar. So if you guys run a curse and you got to just throw one out because you feel you got to get it out, find somebody to give a dollar to on the street. Once again, good morning. Welcome to Behind the Blue Curtain. This show's unscripted. I'm not a radio host. I'm not trained in radio. I'm not trained in television. I'm just trained in act right. So on here, we just keep it real. We discuss topics as they relate to police reform and community reform. We're not afraid to talk about race on here. We're not afraid to talk about politics on here as it relates to police reform. We don't get into political debates and discussions because we all know that's an endless circle that ain't going to go nowhere. There are some people on here who support Trump who support police reform. So, you know, I'm respectful of those people and appreciate them in my corner. So we're all in here together to learn. We're going to throw out ideas and concepts and principles and how we feel about things. And this is how the solutions come. All the talking heads, all the people with titles, all the people who hold themselves up as experts on the problem, if they could have figured it out, we wouldn't be where we are here. I wouldn't be doing this. We could all be doing something else. But we're here. We're going to have a good time being here. So while we're here, we might as well come up with some solutions. Now, you say, where are these solutions going to come from? I'm nobody. I'm a crack addict sitting in a back alley with an Obama phone and a Wi-Fi connection. Use it. 646-716-4621. Press 1. Tell us about that back alley. Tell us how you got to that back alley. See, until we discuss the conditions that cause the problems, not just the problems, nothing gets better. Municipalities and politicians want to address the issue without addressing the environment. So today what we're going to talk about is mutual trust and respect. Keyword on mutual. What you guys heard at the top of the show is a guy named Sir Robert Peel. Sir Robert Peel is known as the father of modern day policing. And he wrote 9 tenets, which you heard at the top of the show. These 9 tenets, which we've covered on the show previously, are to police work what the 10 commandments are to Christianity. These 9 tenets should be posted in the lobby of every police department in this country, not so much to inform the citizen, but to remind the officers. These 9 tenets are not spoken about very rarely, if taught at all, in police academies. So if we're not teaching the 10 commandments in Sunday school, what are we teaching? Heresy. If anybody go back and listen to the beginning of the show when you guys get a chance and listen to these 9 tenets that Sir Robert Peel put out in 1829, that if we just did those today, we could put YouTube out of business as far as police videos. It's an instruction guide, a tutorial on how to treat people, how to react to people. Now, I know people are thinking, well, the officers, no. It ain't just the officers. Y'all know how we do it here. We're going to get up in them chief's offices. My phone works, chief, 646-716-4621. You can call up here. I'll tell you now, you got probably more law enforcement administrative experience than I got, and that's fine. I don't deal with this problem from an administrative perspective. Our streets in America are in a state of emergency, period. We don't have time to be administratively correct. Folks are hungry, they're homeless, officers are tired, they're underpaid, and we're all sitting in the middle of this big crap storm, stirring the pot, making the videos while people sit up and gaily make decisions Monday morning on what the officer could have done better or what the citizens could have done better, and the media is in the middle just grabbing what they can to get soundbite. And I don't care which one it is, MSNBC, Fox, or any of them. So, being real and talking about what is real, we're going to talk about mutual trust and respect. Now, I was thinking last night when I was at work about this topic, and something just came to me. You know, I deal predominantly when I started with strangers. I'm going to these people's house. I don't know them. But I go in there with this preconceived notion that they're automatically going to trust me because I'm in a uniform. Well, what kind of person automatically trusts anybody they don't know? It's human nature to be suspicious of what you don't know. From the citizen standpoint,
you're coming at them and you're saying, well, they should trust me because I'm a cop, and they're going, I don't know you. When the officer comes, he's not going to trust you. He or she does not know you. They know why they're told they're there. So how do we get past that part of it? When the officer's not going to come in there and surrender trust to citizens on a call that he or she was sent to, and the citizens don't know this officer coming in the house from a can of paint, and given some of the things that we see out here today, they're going to be distrustful. That's natural. That's human. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't let the media tell you, well, you're wrong because you don't trust the officers. That old saying where they say, you know, you can trust all police officers, that's some bullshit. There goes my first dollar. Everybody knows that. If officers' feelings get hurt, I'm sorry. It is what it is. Okay? You can't trust everybody. So how do we get past that? And even officers who've been ambushed by citizens, that they've given the benefit of the doubt to, you can't trust all citizens. Because if we could, then we wouldn't have a job. We wouldn't be there. We wouldn't be getting the paycheck. We'd be in Nirvana or heaven or somewhere else. But that being said, how do we get past this trust issue? Easy. We do this thing we used to do years ago before everybody, before when the hashtag was nothing but a number symbol. See, we used to do this thing called talk. Before we text, we talked. We got to know what people were saying. We listened. Today, too many of us listen only for our chance to talk. We're waiting for that break to talk because we're more interested in winning the argument than solving the problem or converting someone to our belief. The purpose of conversation is to let someone know how you feel or to empower someone to be the best they can be at what they want to do and to accept constructive criticism. Police officers, you go into communities, you don't know what is going on. I know, we like to say, we know, I know what goes on in my area. Bullshit, dollar number two. You don't know. Because if you did know, why is it you get out the car and the first words out your mouth are what's going on? So, okay, let's own up. Let's bite that bullet. You don't know everything going on in the neighborhood. Citizens, guess what? You don't know everything going on in that officer's mind, in that car, or in that big 2.5-3-inch thick law book we carry. So now that we recognize the fact that both of us are woefully ignorant, when we come to an incident, we go back to that C word. No, not the bad one. We go back to that one called communication, which we don't do anymore. Mutual respect from the officer's standpoint. And I'm not speaking for every officer, and you guys read the disclaimer. I don't speak for my city. This is my personal opinion. But when you meet people, you don't know about them till you talk to them. You got to talk to them. He's white, he must be this, or he's black, he must be this, or he's a cop, he's this way. You don't know. See, we can't say, you know, all cops are bad cops. Why? Well, the last cop that dealt with me treated me like crap, so therefore all of them are crap. And then you get mad when the cop says, well, all black guys are drug dealers. You can't say that. Well, the last one I dealt with was a drug dealer. Here it comes. It's getting real in here. It's getting real early. Some of y'all probably loosening up your collar. See, you got to meet people where they are. Y'all know me. I will call out things in the profession that I see is wrong, but I'm going to tell you, it takes a lot to put on all that crap we got to put on. It ain't easy to walk out that door day or night in my situation this night and don't even know if you're coming back, to pull out your driveway and don't know you're coming home. And it ain't probably not going to be of your own accord. And yes, that's what we sign up for, and that's the risk we take. Now, to the officers, you don't know what it's like for that citizen to live in that neighborhood with the gunshots every night, the squealing tires, the loud music, prostitutes on every damn corner. Nothing gets done. The school is crumbling and falling apart. The church is nothing but a figurehead building in the neighborhood that collects folks' money once a week, gives nothing back to the community, and you're trying to raise your kids right. The gangs want to get your kids involved in them. The stores cost too much. The corner store ain't got nothing in it but malt liquor, cigarettes, drug paraphernalia. You get the drugs out the back door. There you go. So the citizens are frustrated and pissed off, and the police are frustrated because they got to deal with some of the crap that administrators throw down. They got to deal with the politics. They got to deal with the problems. They got to deal with the personal stuff at home. And now here we are all in this mess. and everybody's playing a little fiddle, and everybody has a side. We're on here today. We're not interested in who's right, who's wrong. We're not scoring points for the poor, or the black, or the white, or the police. No, we're going to talk some solutions today. How do we get there? How do we get to some workable, viable solutions without politicians? Their bullshit is so bad. We spend more time dealing with these politicians who gather you for a meeting so they can schedule the other meeting, so they can hear your concerns, so they can convene a panel to talk about your concerns and then schedule a meeting. Hell, you go through a year and haven't seen nothing but your bus fare run up, your babysitter tab is through the roof, and you're just sitting there at these meetings. And the people that are there at the meetings telling you they're going to make things better don't even live in your neighborhood, and you don't see them. You don't see them in your neighborhood. But that's our leaders. When the last time some of y'all seen your chief? You know? How many of you even know your chief? See, that is the disconnect. There are officers, I can tell you, and this is my personal opinion, there are officers out here who are dying to learn the community. Some of them don't know how. Some of them say, I'm white, I'm in this black, I don't know how. Get out the car and meet them. That's easy to say. But then when they do get out, you got to embrace them. You got to be willing to say, man, you can ask me anything you want. My feelings aren't going to get hurt. I'm not going to yell at you. But then officers, when the community brings you in, invest something in the community. Come on, brother. If you're getting your hair cut once every 2 weeks or whatever, that's the only time you in the neighborhood? Tighten up the fade for the club? That's it? Church? That's it? You don't go into these neighborhoods for nothing when you're off and you say, well, I don't know why the people don't trust me. I wouldn't trust you either. If I only see you when you're paid to be there, what good are you to me? If you're selling drugs no longer down the street but in front of my house and you're there being paid to be there, what good are you to me? If you're asking me to tell you who's selling drugs, tell us the people on my porch that don't live here. It's the guys. It's your job to know who it is. We have to earn the community's trust. See, one of the things seldom spoken about outside of police work, the community knows it and the police know it, but for the common people who don't live in a bad neighborhood and don't deal with police all the time, see, here's the thing, and you media folks, stop showing up at the scene, throwing the camera up in everybody's face that's talking to an officer, because when you leave and get your little sound bite, those folks got to live in that neighborhood, and maybe that's why some folks in some neighborhoods are found in alleys and in dumpsters. Let the officers work. Officers learn when to talk to people, how to talk to people. Nobody wants to talk to you while the body's laying in the street. Nobody's going to talk to you while the very people that you suspect are selling drugs. They got to live there when you leave. Citizens, if you got officers who want to work with you, work with them. Remember, it's in your best interest. They don't live there. It is your property value. It is your taxes. Because when your neighborhood gets to a certain point, some investors are going to buy it. They're going to zone you out, and you got no place to go. You're going to be stuck talking about what white folks did, talking about what the government did. No, it's what you did. If you got junk cars in front of your house, if your grass is 4 or 5 feet high, you cut it and giraffes are running around the backyard. You know, you got windows knocked out of your house, junk cars up in the yard. These are things that the citizen can take care of. It's not the city's responsibility. See, this, we're going to go hard in here. We're not going to just beat up the police or the city and say, well, the citizens don't have any choice. You know, if you got a church in a neighborhood where you got old women living in that neighborhood that need their grass cut, hello, church, why isn't it cut? That's hard talk right there. I'm not blaming the preacher. He ain't the only one in the church. See, we used to take care of each other in our neighborhoods, black or white or mixed neighborhoods, Hispanic neighborhoods. We used to, you guys take a look at in some of these Hispanic neighborhoods, particularly in Texas, go to these Mexican neighborhoods. They come in and buy a house. Everybody laughs. Man, there's about 20 people live in that house. Mm-hmm. Here's 20. Five of them are concrete workers. Five of them are sheetrock workers. Five others are carpenters. Five others are electricians. They all work on the house, get it set up, buy the house next door. They all move in there. You know, 10 of them move over there. They all work together. They fix that one up. You come back in 3 years, you got a beautiful neighborhood. How did that happen? They didn't ask for no grant. They couldn't walk down to the bank and get a loan. They worked together. They worked together. That's what we forgot how to do in neighborhoods. Officers and citizens and churches and your YMCA and your community leaders, your city council people, start going to these neighborhoods at night. Stop going through there for the Disney tour during the day and waving out the window at folks. Did they see me? Make sure they see me so they can say I'm here. That's some bullshit. You want to know what your city really looks like? Go out there at night. Go see what it looks like at night. Up in 804, Big Gus, what's going on, brother? Gus, go on once.
Gus, I'm here. How you doing this morning, man?
Huh? All right, brother. What's up? Ty, your mic is open also.
Good, man. Mutual respect. That's a two-way street, man. And respect is earned. So with all the trash that we see on in the media, man, you know, with police and citizenry relations, man, it's a wonder some people don't trust the police. But it is a two-way street, and sometimes both sides, you got to step out on faith, man. If you don't know how to talk to a certain group of people or you deem you got to be a certain way to talk to them, then you got to step out on faith, man. And like you see some of these videos with the police officer just pull up to the neighborhood and jump out the car and start playing basketball with the kids, that's a start. That's a good start. But you've got to jump out on faith, man. If you really truly want to get involved in the community while you're policing it, you're going to have to jump out on faith.
You know, Gus, when I got here, because I didn't grow up here in Waco, when I got here, I'm going to tell you how I learned about this city. And, I mean, we had the drug wars, man. We had God knows what going on right here. You couldn't give your house away here. When I went into some of these neighborhoods, I sat down with these old people that would just sit in that old rocker and just sit on the porch. And, you know, they were so used to seeing all the crap that it didn't even faze them. And I would ask them, tell me how Waco was 100 years ago or 50 years ago. What was Waco like? What can we do different? And these old people will trust you. Believe it or not, when the drug dealers will see you sitting talking with these old ladies, at first they're thinking, okay, is this guy snitching or whatever? But then when they see you talking with them, they have a respect for that. They may not like you. They're not going to walk across the street and give you a kumbaya hug. But I'm going to tell you, some of these drug dealers and gang members that people say, you know, that I don't approve of what they do. But depending on some cities you're in, these are the guys who say, we don't need the police in our neighborhood. So guess what? They're buying air conditioners. They're buying school clothes. They're doing all these things. I'm not condoning what they do because they do good acts, but I'm saying, you know, they're giving back. And they recognize the only reason I'm probably still alive today, coming through the 90s, was because some of the people that are in the streets here, who some would say are bad people, they did some bad things. But you know what? They watched my back, and I didn't even know it. And some of them I put in prison. Be 100 with people. Be real. You know,
that's
maybe
true.
If we got out of the cars, and I'm certainly not saying this is across the board, but a lot of cops get targeted because people watch their behavior, their patterns, and how they interact with people. Much the same way what the community does. We go into a neighborhood, we watch who stands on the corner, who's reaching in their pocket, who's walking up the cars. There's certain behavior the community does that gets the attention of the police. Well, guess what? There's certain things the police do that gets the attention of the community, including the bad element. How do you treat people? Sir Robert Peel in the 9 tenets we just listened to, one of the things that strikes me that he said in it is that I don't need you to respect me just because I'm in a uniform. See, that's the content of today. People expect that. Sir Robert Peel said it's incumbent upon the officer to earn the respect of the citizen. See, I got to earn your respect.
That's right.
You don't blindly reach in your pocket and give away money. You don't blindly open your window and throw food out in the street. So why in the hell would you blindly give me respect? That's a fool. You can be polite. There's a difference between polite and blind respect. When we question people, what do we earn? Their cooperation. How do you get people's cooperation? You earn their respect. Even the mafia respected the officers who played the game straight. And the same way with your citizen. When that officer respects you, you respect him or her back. It doesn't cost you anything. You have to earn their respect, too. They're not going to blindly give it to you. Because the nature of our business, you got to always worry what can happen. And you never know what will happen. And I'm not saying everybody's got to police the way I police. I just talk about what has been successful for me here. There's not a lot of things in Waco, I tell you, there's not a lot of things that I'll miss when I leave. But this community here, these people here, I'll damn sure miss them. It is a comforting feeling when you give respect to the community and you trust people in the community. It's nice to be able to get into your patrol car and get out anywhere you want to get out.
That's right.
Because people respect you.
You have to earn it, man. One thing to help that trust, you know, between community and policing is, man, so many police officers in a lot of these major jurisdictions, they have, you don't see policemen walking the beat anymore. They issue the car and they drive around, they get out when they have to, or if they're stopping at the 7-Eleven or whatever, but you don't see the policemen. Well, you're not going to see it too much in rural areas, but in the city, you do not see policemen walking the beat. And I think that's a part of the distrust, because you don't really see them unless something's happening. But if I think we put more police officers back on the foot beat, then they would be okay. Because a couple of my friends in the MPD in Washington, D.C., Metropolitan Police Department, when they did their foot beat, they had to call in, I think it was every 30 minutes to check in. Nonstop, every 30 minutes, you got to check in. So I know, you know, foot patrols work because you're visible. The kids can walk up to you and ask you questions and do all that stuff, man. That's all positive, you know, for community policing. So if we take the police officer and put him, you got to put him in the community. And it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter if you're black or white, man. If you're walking the beat and you're protecting the
city. Uh-oh, you cut out on me, guys? Okay.
Police see you. You know, if you walk out, you know, you're walking on the beat and kids see you and grandmothers and single moms, mm-hmm. and everybody see you. They know you're on the job, man, and they know they can trust you. They know if something go down that you're going to be there and you got their back. So, yeah, they have to do more foot patrols in a lot of these major police departments.
You're right. But I tell you, here it comes. And, Administrator, I know I can hear some police chiefs twisting in the wind right now. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. I will defend officers, and I'm not going to let officers take heat behind some of these administrative decisions that these chiefs across the country make for whatever reason they make them. But let me tell you, we got a country today that demands everything we do today has got to be quick. I want everything microwaved. I go to the fast food window. I want my police service fast. And officers got to respond. They have to have the ability to respond. So you got to say, okay, I got 50 guys on this ship. How many can I afford to put on foot and still have officers to respond in cars to things that are happening? You know, a lot of officers would love to be on foot. But then we'll go back to what we talked about a few shows back. What style of policing is your department doing? Are they going call-driven? When they're saying, man, we just ate up with calls, just answer the calls on the screen. We don't have time to write tickets and run radar. We just got to get these calls off the screen. Are you doing reactive policing where you just react to whatever happens? Well, I'm working my calls. Oh, somebody ran a stop sign. Let me react to that. Oh, there's, you know, somebody jaywalk. Are you doing problem-solving policing where you go in and you solve that person's particular problem and you move out, or are you doing community policing? So whichever style, and each one has a different type of style, but I love being out of the car and being amongst people. And I think a lot of officers do, but that is a decision that's made up there at the chief level. The community can go in there and demand it. I'll tell you this, when these rich folks, they got the downtown buildings, and they decide they want something, they damn sure get it. You don't believe me? Look at your municipality. Let them rich folks that got the jewelry stores and the high-end restaurants downtown say, we want a dedicated officer down there. I damn sure bet you there'll be one.
Right.
I bet you there'll be one. And they'll say, we'll compensate. What does it cost two officers at city cost this much? Okay, we'll hire them and put them down there on their days off or whatever, like a side job. They get a patrol car and they get down there and they do it. You're right. If we can have officers walking downtown districts all over the country, why can't you have them walking through the neighborhoods? You go in the French Quarter, there's officers everywhere. But you go in some of them neighborhoods outside the French Quarter, when you get down there in Louisiana, New Orleans, you get past them cones, you on your own. Gerald's on here. He could tell you. A lot of officers, personally, I feel safer out of the car than in the car. It's hard to get a gun out. You're constricted. You're hemmed in. And it's too easy to get ambushed. Outside of that car, you can see what's moving around you. And you're right. It makes you feel more encompassed with the people that are around you. What's going on, Rocky, over there on Facebook? Ty, your mic is open, brother. You can chime in anytime you like. Another one of the aspects when we talk about trust and policing, we have to extend it into the criminal justice system. We got to talk about the courts. How do you get to court? You come through us. That's how you get to court. You come through us, for right or for wrong. So when you get into that court system, do you trust that system? If you don't, why don't you? And if you in a municipality, whether it's a county or a city court, and your citizens don't trust the court, don't blame the citizen. Look at the court. Re-examine yourself. If it's $400 because somebody went through a stop sign and you're not in Beverly Hills, there's something wrong with that. Because when you make enough criminals out of people who can't afford to pay fines, your crime will go through the roof. Sometimes I think through this justice system and how we do things, when we don't respect other people and we make laws and we make ordinances, we also create criminals. Sure, we like to say we're helping people, but sometimes we create criminals. It's not the officer's fault. He or she has to do their job. When you say officers, citizens should trust every officer, who says that? What kind of community do you live in? If you live in a gated community where you wave at the officer that's sitting there 1 hour a day on your way out, you're going to have a different opinion of police officers than that person in the neighborhood that's got to put up with the gunshots and the gang warfare and the dead bodies sitting in the alleyways or in the apartment building stairwells. They call the police and have to wait 60 minutes, hour and a half, for an officer to show up. I'm not saying that's the officer's fault. He or she may be busy. I'm saying that's an administrative problem, Chief. See, on all these shows you guys see and you hear these radio shows, these people talk about policing, rarely do you hear the chiefs held to accountability. Never. The officers get thrown under the bus for practicing a policy or procedure that is ordained and approved by the chief that is put out. He performs his or her duty. The community doesn't understand the ordinance, so they come down on the officer. They throw the officer under the social media bus. They light his ass up. His wife is scared. He's all over social media. We're busy bashing him. He comes into work, and the chief pats him on the back and goes, "Don't worry about it, buddy. You did the right thing." Hell with that, chief. How about some backup? Your Facebook worked just like mine. Why don't you come on and tell them I was out there enforcing the policy you wrote? Hello, city council people who vote on these ordinances. Why don't you step up and defend that officer if you love us so much? Blue lives matter that much. Why don't you step up and go, the council voted to enact this. The officer's actions were perfectly in line with the city's policy. Don't let him twist it in the wind of social media. Crucify up there. A lot of officers not going to tell you this because a lot of them want to keep their jobs. They're worrying about making these politicians mad. They're worrying about somebody calling in a side favor. See, you guys don't know. A lot of officers would love to talk. Some of them are scared, and I'm not saying I'm somebody special because I'll speak up. They're scared. They got families to feed. Ain't nobody on here going to invite them over to the house when they don't have a job. And you don't call these city council people or these police chiefs or police administrators, and in some instances, dysfunctional mayors, you don't call them out to embarrass them. You're calling them out to say, guess what, I did my homework. Stuff that you're pulling ain't making it. No more. You go to those council meetings with notes and you hold these people accountable. That's where you get that mutual trust. when you walk in there with your facts lined up and your ducks in a row and your dates and your times, because you've looked at these council meetings, see, then you're going to get some R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Aretha Franklin said it. Knowledge is power. We don't have to destroy the system. We're not here to burn the system down. It damn sure needs to be tweaked. It needs to be tweaked because it's not working. And if it's not working for everybody, it's not working for anybody. Point blank. Well, yes, I hate how some people look at the Facebook Live. They say, damn, man, you angry? No, I'm not angry. I'm passionate. We need more passionate people. We don't need no more cheerleaders. We don't need no more candles sitting on sidewalks with teddy bears and flowers after what happened. We need to get involved and stop things before they happen. We need to come to the table with solutions. Everybody's got enough. This is a salad bowl. The police got enough to eat. The citizens got enough to eat. The civic groups got enough to eat. The churches got enough to eat. The chiefs got enough. We're all equally at blame for this mess. So we need to fix the problem, not the blame. How do we do that in our city? I'm going to go back to what I said. If you don't know your police chief, you're the problem. You don't need to know everything about him, but if you don't know the name of your police chief, you're part of the problem. You can Google that. You don't even have to go down there. If you say, I don't like no cops, you're part of the problem. Because you don't know all cops. Are there officers I don't like? Absolutely. There's a ton of them I don't like. I don't know them personally. I don't like what they did. That's just my opinion. So I'm not going to expect a citizen to say, oh, you should like all police officers. Because the true fact of the matter is, and I think, you know, and I'm going to say this, it's going to twist some people off, but that's, you know, that's why I do this early on Saturday morning. Folks can have a beer later and forget I even said it. But you know what? When I get in my car and I leave this city where everybody knows me, and I get out on that road, I feel like Philando Castillo. I feel like Tamir Rice. I feel like Alton Sterling. Because you don't know. When I see a police car behind me on the road, and well, your wife is white, that ain't no pass. That'll get you more attention. It's not a matter for a lot of black people today if I get pulled over. If we're thinking when. And then what is he? We're hoping we get somebody good. And there's a lot of good officers out there, and we don't see all the good things they do. So we can only go by what we see. And what do we usually see? The bad traffic stops. Need to start calling out these bad officers. Stop condoning it through silence, because once the community sees us speak up about the things that are wrong with us, and we're trying to fix us, then they'll trust that we want to work with them to fix them. We can't fix the community. That's the big myth. We're conditioned and trained to believe that we can come into your neighborhood and fix the problem. That's bullshit. We can't. Because we don't live there. You're not going to treat nobody's house better than you treat your own. We can help you fix your neighborhoods. And until cities and police departments come to the realization that you provide resources and help, but ultimately it is not your responsibility to fix that neighborhood, it is your responsibility to serve the people who live there to the best of your ability and empower them to fix their own problems the way they see fit, not according to a police mandate or a city council agenda. Let people tell you what they want fixed, and you bring the resources and you fix it. Stop going in the neighborhoods telling people what to do. Because if we knew what to do, then the neighborhood wouldn't be hell in the first place. Let me get on down off the soapbox. Ty, you want to go ahead and jump in here?
We don't have any callers that, other than Gus, that want to chime in.
Oh, yeah, I got a few up there. They haven't pressed one. They're listening.
Oh, I mean, no, I'm saying to chime in because, you know, I, as always, practice what we teach, and that is respect. And this is a relationship between us and those who support our show, their show, the show. So I'm just, you know, patiently waiting to you know, I ain't the type that got to jump right in. So I hear you stop, you know, stop with a word or something. So do we have any callers, if I may ask, who want to chime in on this? Because it's very important.
They got one in 843, one in 802. You know, just hit one, and you want to get on, I'll get you on. But they're
please,
sitting back, and they're listening.
Okay, well, I guess I'll give you a break if no one else wants to chime in. But you touched a very, you know, it all boils down to the first thing which you spoke about, mutual respect, right? Trust. And, you know, trust, respect, you can throw them all in the same salad. They coexist because you really can't respect nobody you don't trust. And you can't really trust nobody you don't respect. So they kind of go hand in hand. And the mutual definitely is a relationship. It's how you relate to one another. And with the advent of modern technology, Stan, I really truly not believe, I know that a lot of the interpersonal relationship communicational skills have been lost. When you look at how a lot of people do business now, they'll say, well, did you get my text? Or did you get my email? Shoot, some people might even say, did you get my smoke signals? You know, I mean, nobody's talking to one another. So we're using all these electronic devices, whether you're looking at a computer screen, and many people are even reading, you know, the books online, and we don't even pick up books. A lot of people don't even pick up books anymore. So a lot of those social skills that come down with communicating with one another are drastically eroding as time goes on. And until we get back to speaking to one another, not talking at or yelling at, or in many cases, you know, one thing I learned from my mother about communication was it's not what you say, it's how you say it. And when people start raising their voices and start talking to you in a demeaning, derogatory, condescending way, it's only natural for any human being to feel offended. And they use the, as we know, and they use in psychology, the fight or the flight. And whether they start fighting back with their mouths or fighting back getting combative with each other, you know, that's not a good relationship. And that goes starting in the home first. Let's get that clear. It starts in the home before you even hit the streets. So if a person is not for manner, I totally agree. You don't respect, it ain't about respecting the uniform. It's about respecting the human being that's wearing that uniform that stands for something, and that is to serve and protect. So what? It's to serve and protect one another. And you hear it all the time when they have investigations. The police will tell you they need the community's help. Hey, the community needs the police help to keep things in order if we're going to be out of order. So it's a relationship that we have to build bridges, not burn them. And unfortunately, with people who get a certain amount of power, it goes straight to their head, and they mm-hmm. become corrupt, and they become unconscious that, you know, I have all this power, but how am I utilizing my power? If you're conscious of your power, you're going to stay balanced. You're not going to look at people as opponents or rivalries or adversaries or them against us. You look at it, it's us, period. And that community, as they say, common unity, is the fact that you should have a relationship between those who live there, those who come to patrol there or guard there. Well, the people that live there should be patrolling and guarding as well. They shouldn't allow certain things to exist in their community. And we've gotten so far away from that, as we've heard from the streets. No, mm-hmm. you know, snitches get stitches. And, I mean, it's great that you have the show called Behind the Blue Curtain. Because there's a lot of things that are done behind that blue uniform or whatever color uniform officer may wear that's kept in silence, because that officer now, as you said earlier, mm-hmm. he doesn't want to lose his job. Mm-hmm. He has a family to feed. Yep. So it's a lot of maneuvering what is real and what's not real, what is fake and what is phony, or what is truth and what is untruth, what is true evidence and what is planet evidence. what is a theory or a thesis or an opinion or what is forensic science? Well, let's get to the facts. And until we start using our God-given ability to communicate, because he gave us this thing called the tongue. It's the smallest thing on the one of the smallest things on the body, but it's one of the most detrimental, and it can be one of the most helpful things. So if we keep our mouth shut about things that are going wrong, then we're just as wrong as the things we see going wrong. But when you're in a system that kind of promotes that, I'm going to say kind of promotes that. I'm not going to, like you said, we got to work within this system. We need to tweak it. We got to make changes. And there is sacrifices that certain individuals will make, whether they're a police officer or a layman or a politician or a preacher, whatever title. See, the titles don't mean much to me as what you do with your title.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't use your tongue to speak out against what's wrong, then you're not right. You're not right. We're not right. Because our words have to be backed up also, not with a bunch of pretty words, but as the phrase you had on your page at one time, Stan, I don't know if it's still up there, James Baldwin, I don't believe what you say, because I what?
See what you do.
Because I see what you do. So those things got to be followed up with proaction, not reaction. And if we're proactive at working together as a cohesive unit in a community, what the people, the citizens, so to speak, and the officers that are there, I don't know how you can go wrong, but it takes a concentrated effort on both sides. It can't be just one-sided. We can't expect the police just to get out the cars and walk up to people and say, hey, how you doing? So we see police officers and we don't even say good morning, you know, and not because they're officers, because it's only right to say good morning when you see people in the morning. You know, or good afternoon.
Yeah.
I mean, I do limousine service, and one of the things we always say is good morning. If it's an afternoon, good afternoon, good evening. You know, how's your day going? How was your flight before we let them off to go on a plane? You know, have a safe and successful trip. We got to get back to caring about each other. Just a
Thank
human
you.
Being.
Communication, brother.
Communication. And that's a humbling thing. And it's all right to be humble, because there's more power with humility than there is with hostility. I'll say that again. There's more power with humility than there is with hostility. We see these little sound bites. We see these little clips of what, as they say, are doing. But what if we got clips every day of all the roguish things people are doing? Hear what I'm saying? All the roguish things people are doing, starting within their own homes, starting with in their homes, starting from the homes now to the schools to the churches to the community. Come on. We got a lot of dirty laundry that needs to be cleaned. And we got to be honest and say, you know what? This got to go into the washing machine. We got to put this maybe in the washing machine. We got to put this in the washing machine. We got some cleaning up to do, because we don't walk around with dirty clothes normally. So why do we keep walking around or allow people to walk around with dirty minds, so to speak, or dirty attitudes or dirty ways of, say, operating? You know, when you consider just yourself, cannot be what they call a servant of the community. And, you know, in the New York area, of course, we have what is known as New York, Connecticut, New Jersey. In New York City, which uses community policing, by the way, that came back, as you know. I had called you and notified you as soon as they passed that. On their cards, it says courtesy, CPR, courtesy, professionalism, and respect. And you can use that on every aspect of your life. Start off with first being what? Courtesy. Applying courtesy. Now, you're going to have combative people. Of course. You know that. We're not talking about the rogues, the criminals. See, because if you're a rogue or a criminal, of course you don't like the police, because they're stopping your flow of what you want to do, which is wrong. But if you're a law-abiding citizen, what you got against the police? You shouldn't have really anything against them. They did this. You don't know. We don't know all the circumstances. I'm not making any excuses for any rogue police. Just like I ain't going to make no excuses for no rogue citizens. A thug is a thug, whether he's in uniform or out of uniform. All right?
Amen. Amen.
And then you look at before in the medical field, they have what they call when people are really ill and they're getting toward the end of their life, so to speak, they have this thing what is called a bracelet. I know you're familiar with it, Stan. DNR.
Right, right.
Do not resuscitate.
Yep.
Well, in our community, we have to resuscitate. Ain't no do not. We have to revive it. And it comes about by working together cohesively as a unit. I like to use this for the people out there who may did some wrong or may be doing wrong and may be about to do some wrong. I'm going to give you another DNR. Do not run. DNR.
Yeah,
do not run. Do not engage the police in a pursuit, because now you're putting the public at large, that officer as well, as well as yourself. So if you, what is it, the old police movie, I think it was Beretta, if you can't do the time, then don't do the crime.
Amen.
If you get busted, put your hands high up in the sky and wave them because you do care.
Get ready to take that ride.
Take the ride. Because they say it's better to be tried by 12. Carried by 6. That goes on both sides of the fence. I'll say it again.
Amen.
It's better to be tried by 12 than carried by 6. So think about all the people that you affect when you decide, I'm going to run.
Amen. We got to call it. We got one just chimed in, Ty. I'm going to let you. I'm going to get them in and let you finish your point there.
No, I'm done. I want
to
let them in.
All right, brother. Well, your mic's still open, but 802-9790, good morning. You're behind the blue curtain. Come on with it.
Hey, folks. It's Jimmy Lee with Inner Fire Podcast. Just wanted to call in and
say
hi real quick.
What's up, bro?
Man, I wanted to bounce off a couple things that Tyrone was saying there just a minute ago. As far as this mutual respect going back and forth, I can't help but thinking about one of the first videos you ever did, Stan, the God Complex. And if anybody out there listening hasn't seen that, go to the website, stanmason.com, and you can watch all those videos. But especially after today's show, just take 4 or 5 minutes, whatever it is, and watch that video, the God Complex. And of course, the whole mutual respect, it goes back and forth. And I think that, I don't know because I've never served on the police force, but I know when I was in the military, it was like, oh, you wear this uniform, people give you discounts, they start to respect you and things like that. And, people who serve in a uniform can't get caught up in their head with, oh, they disrespected me or I deserve respect automatically, because that'll mess you up. In all kinds of ways and make you act in certain ways that you wouldn't normally act, of course. And, as far as transparency goes, I love what he just said about imagine if we had all the footage of the rogue things that people were doing on the flip side. Well, don't worry, it's coming. We will. Like, folks, if you think there's a lot of cameras around now, in 10 years, this world can be 10 to 20 years. This whole world we live in right now will be completely unrecognizable to you. The technology that's coming is just mind blowing. This is science fiction type stuff. And the smartphones that everybody has now that we all think are so advanced, in 10 years, those things are going to look like freaking pagers. Like the cameras everywhere and things like that, they're coming. But on the other side of that, too, on the same hand, wouldn't it be great for us to see good officers doing good things? Why can't we blow them up on social media? Why can't we go, wow, look, this guy did the right thing, And part of that's on us with the way we use social media and share these clips and things like that. So maybe instead of celebrating this, rogue stuff and bad stuff like people tend to do, maybe we need to celebrate kindness and employ more gratitude and empathy towards everybody. So maybe when people want to use that social media like a megaphone and shout out stuff, hey, how about we shout out like, wow, thanks person in front of me who let me go first in line, or thank you, you know, start giving thank yous instead of this complaining, you know, and that's part of on us as community. So I just wanted to throw all that out there.
Well, I wanted to keep you on there, brother, because one of the things Tyrone hit on something, you echoed it, and Gus talked about at the top of the show. Let's talk about fixing some stuff. Because, you know, and I'm going to throw out what I see and what I've used, the formula I've used, and it's worked. When we, you know, when we go to these neighbors, we want the mutual trust, we want the mutual respect. When you go and list the problems, not for 20 square blocks, you got to go into one block. List your problems, the police. And when I say the police, I'm not talking about a bunch of stiff-collared shooting ties with brass on their shoulders, because guess what? Ain't none of them chiefs and assistant chiefs picking up nair, shovel, or paintbrush. And they're not going to be hauling junk cars out of backyards and weeds. You get the officers who work in that area that want to be there with the people. You come in and we all sit down in the meeting. You talk about the problems. What does the community see? What do the police see? You know, then you get the second meeting, just the second one. You sit down and discuss a plan. This is our plan. This is the resources we have on hand. These are the resources that are donated. These are the resources that we need. You develop your strategy, and you set a long-term goal. Be a realistic goal, but long-term. And then by that third meeting, you're meeting at the problem. We're talking 3 weeks, one meeting a week. And now people say, well, I ain't got time to be one meeting a week. Good Lord. You want too much. Some drug dealers are meeting every damn night. The gang members are meeting on the corner. That's why you want to change your neighborhood. You got to put skin in the game, folks. You got to put some skin in the game. You can't sit in church and pray God to places you want to take him to. You can't legislate this away from the city council meetings. You can't sit in the Ivory Tower chief and say, well, I've done all I can do. I sent officers over there. That's some bullshit. Everybody is in this. When a tornado comes through your town, it's not going after Republicans, Democrats, police chief, politicians, preachers, rich or poor. It's getting everybody to have that mentality when we go to the problem. When we sit down at the problem, we implement our plans, and we stay with our plans for that 1 or 2 block radius where the citizens are involved and the churches are involved, the businesses are involved for that particular neighborhood. We implement it. We follow through with it. We complete it. And then once you've completed your plan for that 1 or 2 blocks, you celebrate. You shut the street down for that one block. You set up picnic benches. Somebody make some wings. Somebody make whatever. You have a block party. You celebrate that achievement. You have to celebrate it to claim that neighborhood. You mark it on the calendar. You have an anniversary where you said, we took back this one block from the intersection of Hell and Hayden and transformed it back to where we didn't have 5 blades of grass within 5 blocks down here. It used to be 5 blades of grass looked like a city park. Now everybody's got a lawn. This stuff is not unimaginable. I've done it. I've seen it. It works. You got to get off your ass. Or you can
sit
in your house and say, I'm scared of them. God, they'll shoot me. I'm scared. You sit. Well, if you're living in the kitchen already, you just sit in there. But don't blame the police for it. We all got to dig the holes, to dig the sidewalks.
You know,
go ahead, Jim.
You know, that's like I tell people all the time when we talk about just various things with adapting to challenges and overcoming obstacles, whatever they may be in life. It's like however you deal with it, however you go forward, no matter what it is, at a certain point, there ain't nothing to do but get it done.
Thank you. When the house is on fire, you got two choices. Get out or put the fire out. And when it's a crowded room, everybody ain't going to fit through the door. Somebody better be after a fire extinguisher or some water or know how to spit. That's just straight talk. But at the same time now, hello, city, when these citizens put in the blood and the sweat and the tears and the officers and they work together and they build these communities back to places where their lifestyle has improved. Maybe not to where the gated community is, but it's a hell of a lot better for them than what it was. The officer enjoys coming to work. Don't come behind them and rezone it and snatch their property out from under them and say, we're going to do eminent domain because we want a ramp going to this mall or this. Don't screw people that way. city officials. We've seen it too much. Hello, Tulsa. Dr. Crutch is on here. She know about Tulsa. Hello. When people build something up, don't snatch it away from them just because, well, we want that property down by the river. You didn't give a damn about it when it was dead bodies, prostitutes, and drug addicts laying all through the parks. You didn't care. That street officer had to deal with it and the people that lived there. They're not on opposite sides of the fence. They share the same nightmare. They got to see the same visuals. They got to hear the same audio that you go home and have nightmares about. Officers going home depressed because they didn't have enough money in their pocket to feed the family they just left from. See, y'all don't know about that. I work with some of these people as far as their attitude. I can tell you. I know officers who said, man, I just wish I had more money to give them. I wish I had to, because we sit at ground zero of the problem. They're with the victims. Sure, they're there when we leave, but guess what? We're right there with it. We're not hearing somebody's testimony and praying God over it. We're there at it. I'm going to challenge everybody this week. This post, this Facebook Live is going to be up no matter where you're at. I don't care what city you live in, county you live in. For this next week, go meet an officer that you didn't know. You don't have to get in a long conversation with them. Just meet them. I don't want to know what city they're in. And just ask them their name. And when they tell you and they say, why you want to know? Well, I just want to start out learning to meet officers. And then come back to this post for this show. And just write that officer's name, Officer Smith, Officer Jones. And if everybody on here that hears this or sees this or shares this within their town would just meet one officer, can make a difference in your department. One. It's amazing. We're people. When you inspire someone to just be the best that they can be at something that they're designed to do, because you, the people who don't have nothing but faith, and you put that faith in that officer, incredible things can happen. I didn't know anybody but some family members in Waco. This community took me in and put faith behind me and believed in me. I have sleepless nights. I've endured some stuff. But you know what? When you wake up and you see a post or you see a text message or you see an email, and even before that you see a letter in your box, and somebody, you don't even remember who this citizen was, but you did something for them and they returned it and said, keep doing what you're doing. Everybody's not going to like you because you're doing what they didn't do. That's where this job comes in. Citizens are more important than anything you will meet. I'm going to share something. I went to a drug rehab center here about just before Christmas. There was a girl asleep in a parking lot here. And I shared the card on my Facebook. And to the officers listening to this, saying about me, it's just I want you to hear this because we oftentimes see so much crap, we forget. And this girl, the rehab center wanted her to leave, and it was cold out. So, you know, the other officer, we told her to leave, and I stayed behind. Something told me to stay and talk to her. And I talked to this girl, and she told me her story. She said, well, I had a bad drug problem, and I graduated from this rehab center here, and I've been clean for about 3 months, and I'm down here from Dallas, and I don't have any gas. I don't have any money to stay anywhere. And I said, well, police department's right there. Go over there. You know, I don't want you sleeping in your car out here where anybody can do anything. Just go over there, sit in the lobby. There's TV in there. There's a bathroom. You're out of the, you know, it's warm. And we got to talking about how she got into her drug addiction. And not for her to vent, but for me to learn. Because the more I talk to these people, the more I learn about their situations, and you're able to help people. And so she told me her story. So she goes over to the police department. And, you know, I got her a little bit of food. And I go back on my ship, didn't think nothing of it. A couple of days later, I go in. The workers, this Christmas card. I'm going to post it again for y'all that didn't see it. This girl with no money went out and bought a huge Christmas card and wrote both sides of it. She said, I didn't know who you were. I didn't know your name. And she took the time to find out who I was. And you know what she said in there? I'm just going to be short about it. She said, you know, my plan when y'all left was to take my life. So you stop and talk to me. I didn't do anything great other than just be who I am. I didn't know she was going to do that. It's no heroic thing. It's nothing like that involved. But it's amazing when we stop sometime and listen to people who aren't like us, whose conditions are different than ours. Damn it. We can make that much of a difference. You can change someone. You don't need a badge. You don't need a gun. You don't need a position. If you grow up and you've been through crap and you're piss poor right now, guess what? Poverty is not your enemy. It's your ally. When you master poverty, you can do much with nothing. It's folks with a lot every day wasting their money. Take the little bit you got. Learn how to do a lot with a little like your grandmother did. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm starting to sound like a preacher, but damn it.
Amen. Amen.
When we master poverty, once we master poverty, then when we get that little, I can give half of my little to Gerald, who can give half of his little to Tyrone, who can give half of his little to Jimmy Lee, who can give half of his little to Robert. And guess what? When we all take that half of a little and go do things, we can do big things. It's not that hard. If you don't believe me, go into some of these Mexican neighborhoods I talked about and look at them. They're not ashamed to live 20 in a house, because when we get this house done, guess what? We're going to sell it for $250 that we only paid $70 for, working together. If your neighbor is white and you're black and the guy next to him is Mexican and the Asian guy lives on the corner, all of you are equally poor. There are no millionaires in your neighborhood. Everybody is sitting in the same at work together. If your neighborhood floods, everybody's going to get flooded. 334 area code 0369. Good morning.
Good morning, Stan. Dr. Crutcher here. How are you?
Yes, ma'am. I'm well. How are you? Good to hear from you.
Great. I jumped on late, so I've missed the entire show, but I will go back and listen. But you know what's going on down here in Tulsa. We've been pushing for oversight. From day one, since Terrence was shot and killed, pushing for police reform, de-escalation training, and finally got the mayor to look at a model in Denver, Colorado, similar size city to Tulsa, and he announced last week that he's going to implement an office of the independent monitor. FOP is belligerent. They're threatening to sue the mayor, if he doesn't allow them to negotiate and be a part of that process. So I don't know what they don't understand about independent monitor. And so we've been dealing with this particular, I would say, chapter from day one, just with their bullying tactics, fear-mongering. And the mayor isn't budging. They're threatening to get him out of office or not reelect him. They actually endorse candidates, give them money. And so it's a lot going on. And so what I've been doing from day one is trying to get those officers who know unequivocally that some things aren't right within law enforcement to speak up. And so I've been working on some of the black officers, and finally, the president of the Black Officers Coalition here in Tulsa, they're writing a letter. It hasn't been released yet, but I think this is the missing link to the puzzle to combat this type of behavior and these tactics. But they're putting out a letter in full support of the mayor, saying that we welcome this monitor. You know, we welcome a second set of eyes. It's going to help with trust and legitimacy. And I just think that this is great. And this is what I've been pushing for, trying to build relationships with them individually. But it's really frustrated me because they consult me privately, but they won't speak out publicly. And that's the bridge I've been trying to build. And so we're continuing to push, but building relationships, trying to better the relations between community and law enforcement is very, very important. And, of course, we have a responsibility to educate our communities as well, and that's what we're doing here in Tulsa. So just want to share that with you.
Well, I'll tell you what, you got my number. You Anything I can do, we can set up a show anytime you want to do one. If the mayor wants to come on with you and you guys want to do a show discussing, because what you're doing is phenomenal. And it's exactly what we talk about on here. You take your vision and you move forward with it. You're going to meet some resistance, because anytime you talk about police reform, you're going to meet resistance because policing hasn't changed in 100 years. We got some trinkets and toys. So you're battling a monster, and without struggle, there's no progress, Frederick Douglass. So you, anytime you want, you can call me, Stan. How about can we do tomorrow at 7? Can we do, next week? We'll put the show together, and we'll get it on, and you guys put out all the information you want. And if the officers want to call in anonymously, we'll do like we do here. I won't give out anybody's number, and they can call in and say what they want to say. And if they want to get mad up there in Tulsa, they can get mad at me.
Yeah, I think they're going to, stand and do a press conference, the Black Officers Coalition, and just come out. And I'm excited about it. I think if I can kind of rally police officers from all around, I've had so much support. Arlington, Texas, they have a good community policing program. Of course, you, Cheryl Dorsey out of LAPD, she's been very vocal against police corruption. So there are so many people. And I just believe if we can all come together and weed out these bad apples, it's going to be great, because what the FOP is doing here now, they're on these conservative radio shows trying to control the narrative, playing victim. Oh, the morale is low now. The mayor shouldn't have done this. How can, he say that the black people don't trust us when, most black people haven't had a negative interaction with law enforcement? They don't trust us because of media and what they see on TV, which is a terrible narrative. I mean, it's very insulting. That's just like me saying, I haven't been raped. Since I haven't been raped, I trust you. Since R. Kelly hasn't affected me personally, I should not trust him. You get what I'm saying? And their problem is we don't want regular individuals who don't know law enforcement telling us how to do our job. You don't get that with doctors or lawyers. They have their peers reviewing when they, do something wrong. But yet we can have regular citizens who don't know what we go through, who don't know the threats we face every day. And I think they're missing something, or they're trying to conflate issues. It's just a second set of eyes to go through that internal investigation. We're not trying to tell you tactically how to do your job. But at the end of the day in Tulsa, the police chief stated to me personally, Betty Shelby was trained. She just didn't follow her training. But he won't say that publicly because of the litigation. So it's frustrating. And I spoke before the city council for the first time since Terrence got shot 2 weeks ago. And I told them, hey, look, I want to put out this disclaimer. I'm pro-police, believe it or not. Let me tell you why. I read your code of ethics, the law enforcement code of ethics, every day, and I love everything that's in it. You know how, as an officer, I'll execute the law courteously. I'll never use excessive force. I'll all of those things. And you state that before God or whoever you serve. However, on September 16th, those code of ethics were violated. And we can name everybody. We can name a lot of people. And so until you truly, truly, truly care about trust and legitimacy and get rid of this whole philosophy or notion, us against them, we're going to have this problem. And so that's what we're fighting. We're trying to change mindsets and hearts and on both sides, because we all deal with implicit bias.
Right.
However, we're looking at facts here in Tulsa.
Well, do this. Take these two notes down for the FOP when you meet with them again. Just ask them this. Just say, hey, for all your policemen and women across the country who perform that job, who paid them? I believe that's y'all. Second thing is, if you're that concerned with oversight over policing, how much oversight have you put on the 160-some officers who killed themselves last year, and it's not been mandated by federal law that all retired and disabled police officers, firefighters, and EMTs have free mental health? To see nightmares for 20, 30 years. Why don't you work on that first, FOP? So officers don't retire and kill themselves because they can't live with the nightmares. Firefighters and ambulance people. If you're that concerned, see, we call out the I got to say it this way, and it's no offense towards you. We call the bullshit out here. That's semantical bullshit. That's political bullying. Because I walk in there and tell them, you know what, if you cared about me, where's my free mental health care? Congress gets it, what are they afraid of, a paper cut? You know, we got folks walking around out here with nightmares in this country from serving their communities, damn it. They deserve free mental health, whether it's firefighters, EMS, and police. They deserve it. Why don't you tackle that first FOP and let Tulsa deal with Tulsa? Let Tulsa do Tulsa. And you worry about something else. We got enough on this plate. See, that's the semantics they throw out, the distractions. You stay on them. And you stay on them. And once they see you're not going nowhere, they're going to, well, we might as well go in. We need to get her quiet. She's a loudmouth. Well, just be a loudmouth. What do you got to lose? You done already had your brother taken from you. Your parents and your family's had to deal with that disappointing nightmare. And folks want you to sit around and whisper about it. That's bullshit. And I'm not going to let it go. As much as I speak about it, if folks' feelings can get hurt, they say, well, you know, you don't live there. He wasn't nothing to you. It could have been me. What am I supposed to wait till it is me to get concerned?
Right.
Keep doing what you're doing. Keep us posted. And if you ever need me, you know, you can always call me. We'll put a show together.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you, Stan.
You're welcome. All right. We're getting down to the round table, the barbershop portion of it. We're going to go down through all the callers. Everybody's going to get 2 minutes. Anything you want to talk about, it doesn't have to be on this topic. Anything you want to throw out, you know, throw it on out there. We're going 804, last 48603. Big Gus, come on, man, 2 minutes. Anything you want.
I want to say thank you to Dr. Crusher. What a great commentary. And also to Brother TKD. Man, always insightful. You know, policing, and the community goes hand in hand, man. And mutual respect, if you don't know your police officer, how are you going to respect them? Well, how can I respect you, Stan, if I don't know you? I mean, you can respect the job because it's a hard job, but if you don't get to talk to the officer and the officer don't engage with the community, you're going to always have these problems. I want to say thank you for a great show, and I'm proud to be part of it.
Oh, man, you always in there, man. I mean, this is, like I said, this is our show. It ain't mine. It's ours. Everybody's important on here, you know. 802, area code 9790. 2 minutes, anything you want.
Yeah, so, you know, once again, everybody, thank you, of course, for letting me be a part of the roundtable discussion. I love when I get to the chance to call in. I've really enjoyed being a part of this show from the beginning. Dr. Crutcher, please, you're more than welcome to come on my little podcast, Inner Fire Podcast. Just reach out to me on your favorite social media at Inner Fire Pod, and we'll set something up. I'd love to interview you about your journey in life. Stan, you know, as always, it's been a great show, man. Every one of your shows is awesome. And I would really encourage everybody listening, if you haven't already, or maybe it's been a while, go to stanmason.com and watch those videos. I mean, not just the God Complex, but all of them. I kept hearing things during this episode that reminded me of those early videos. So it's really important for everybody listening to go check those out while it's still fresh in your brain and just kind of roll with it, whatever that means to you in your life. If anybody wants to hear more from me, again, reach out on social media at Inner Fire Pod. You can go to innerfirepodcast.com and connect with me there. Ask me a question. Tell me I'm an idiot. Whatever you think, doesn't matter. Open to all comments, questions, and concerns. And, you know, again, everybody, thank you so much. That's all I have.
All right, brother. You know, as always, I appreciate you. Tell your wife I'm glad everybody in the house is finally over all the ailments, the flu, and I'm glad the kids are going. I know they keep you busy. But if you ever need me, brother, you know how to find me.
100%.
All right. We're going dropping back down to 334, 2 minutes. Anything you want.
Stan, I really don't have anything else.
Okay.
Just know that you know, we're going to continue to fight here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And next week I'll be at the State House. Session is getting ready to open up, and there's two representatives that are trying to put a bill through committee to remove language and not hold law enforcement officers accountable when they use excessive force, deadly or excessive force. And, you know, they're trying to make police officers hear above the law. And it's like very concerning, very concerning. And we don't have enough Democrats in the system to even, I mean, we can't even vote. I mean, they're going to win. So we're going to be down there lobbying against this crazy bill. I mean, they've struck out so much language where if they kill somebody, citizens can't file a civil lawsuit or hold them accountable. And I'm not sure what that's about. We know the FOP here is behind it. So it's just a lot of crazy stuff going on in Oklahoma, and we have to keep speaking out. So just stay tuned for that, and I'm going to be all over
it.
Thanks again.
Is it going to be televised? Is it going to be televised there locally?
Well, I don't know. I'm sure news will be there. We're going to do a press conference next Saturday morning with one of our state representatives who's concerned, and we're getting some local clergy together, activists, and we're going to, you know, just put them on blast, and we pray it doesn't even get out of, you know, get to the committee and onto the floor for a vote. So we're going to try to jump in front of the narrative and let them know, hey, shame on you. We're watching you. We're watching everything that's going on. So I'll keep you posted.
Okay, because if it's not a violation of the quorum there, depending on, you know, the statutes there, the ordinances, somebody, you might want to have two or three people Facebook Live that can keep these people on record. Live.
Sure.
On record. I mean, if they allow it, I mean, it doesn't have to be professional so much as it is you're just gathering witnesses, you know. As a public, if
Absolutely.
It's a public meeting, I don't see why you can't. I think that would be a great thing to do.
Yeah, I'll send you the language. I'll email you the language and the summary and the bill, what they're trying to do, what they're trying to strike out, so we can head this off. Thanks a lot.
Excellent. Excellent. I appreciate you so much, and thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. All right, Big Brother Tyrone, take us out, bro.
Well, there's a thing called a very popular game, and this is not no game. As you say, you got to have skin in the game, but let's take this to where it needs to be when we talk about humanity. It's called Call of Duty, and we have a duty. We have a moral as well as a legal responsibility, and that's an oath. That's an internal oath within your soul, within your mind, your spirit, which should not be driven by fear. We know we're going to be met with resistance, but we have to be resilient against the resistance. I don't even like to use the word fight, you know, and no disrespect, of course, to Dr. Crutch. I just like to say we have to stay resilient against the resistance, because you're going to be met with resistance when we try to make change. We know we're up against not just police corruption, and I don't want to just point it at police, human corruption. People are corrupt, and we got to call them out. We have to put them on blast. We got a bunch of overzealous egomaniacs, whether they're in the pulpit or they're in the White House or in the community, whether they're in the big house, so to speak, sitting in their chairs, pushing papers, and you know, come on. So let's not just – I don't want to make this thing a bash the police thing. We got to bash corruption wherever we find it. Okay, and I don't care how many rules or laws they make and legislation they create, if we don't obey them, we don't respect them, we don't abide by them, we're still going to have lawlessness, whether it's on Wall Street or whether it's out in the street. So we got to continue to be like that water that drips on that piece of rock. And anybody knows anything about water, if it keeps dripping on a piece of rock, it will bore through. We got to meet and greet. And not just have family reunions and little get-togethers with each other. We got to stand up and get to know one another better. Get to know, not believe, not think, not guess, not wonder, but get to know one another. If we don't, we might as well sit down and just beat and go back to sleep. Mm-hmm. And that's what a lot of people have continued to do. They keep going back to sleep. Get to meet people. Let's get involved. I have a simple acronym I've been using for years called RID. And it means simply, if we want resolve, we have to stay involved or things will continue to dissolve. We got sociopaths out there, bullying, threatening on all the courts. It ain't just there. It's starting even in homes. Talking about threatening and bullying, but you got the loud threateners and bullies, and you got the quiet threateners and bullies. And we know what happens with them quiet ones. They end up imploding and exploding. And we have to learn how to de-escalate this situation because it will continue to escalate. That means instead of just being part of this show, we need people to show up. Be a continuous part of the solution and not stop beating the drums to the problems. Because we have an obligation. We have to be committed. We have to be obedient. We have to pledge allegiance to one another. The hell with a flag. To one another for that pursuit of happiness and freedom and justice for all. We have to be loyal about this. We can't fake the funk. Don't give me your faith. Faith without works is dead. We got to pay homage to one another. Don't wait till somebody's dead to want to now pay homage. Bow. It's all right to bow to one another. Show a reverence to each other. And you don't have to be a reverend to get a reverend. We have a responsibility because we all were born to come to this earth to not only make the world a better place, once we leave it, it will be a better place because we all have a legacy that we will leave. And are we going to be known as the generations that let things just go? And I'm going to leave with his final words. I believe it was Harold Melvin in the Blue Notes. It said, wake up, everybody. Right? Wake up. The world won't get any better if we just let it be. So stay resilient against the resistance. Stay intelligent against the arrogance and the ignorance because it has to exist. So we ain't going to get rid of it literally, but we have to address it. Undress it, and then redress it. That's how we have reform. If we don't, things will continue to form. Thank you again, Stan.
All right, brother. As always, that was deep. We're going to get out of here. I'm just going to give a few shout-outs, of course, my co-host, Mr. Tyrone K. Dunmore, Big Gus up there in 804 chiming in, Dr. Crusher, Jimmy Lee. Appreciate you tuning in. 94.5, DJ Precise, Mary Jane. Appreciate y'all. Pierre Starr. My publicist, appreciate him popping in there. The Facebook Live crew, they're off the chain over there. Big shout out to all my people here in Waco and also hometown up here in Harrisburg, PA. Appreciate you guys getting up Saturday mornings, joining in. The Facebook Live cut off out of the clear blue. But we got an hour of some good information up there on the show. Once again, just to remind you guys, this week, meet one officer. Just meet one. You don't have to stay with them for 30, 40 minutes, 15, 20 minutes. Just meet them. Talk to them, greet them, just ask them, what's your name? And just write their name, Officer Smith, Officer Jones, Officer Washington, whatever. It ain't that hard. We're people. We're not perfect. All of us don't bite. But you'd be amazed at how many of these officers really want to open up to you. Some of them don't know how. It's been trained out of them. Let them be people. They want to be people again. Some of them are tired of being the blue robot. They care. They just don't know how to show it because sometimes they don't understand what's going on. And we're not very good at saying, I don't know. I could be wrong. And we're really not good at asking for help until it's a crisis. So as officers, we'll learn to be people once folks are prepared to accept us as people and allow us to be people with all of our faults and all of our indifferences and all of our ignorance because guess what? We're people. We came out of you guys. We came out of the pool of people. So there's some good ones out there. Meet them, greet them, and we're going to take it to the next level. Shout out to everybody. You guys be careful. It's Saturday, and you know, we're got to get through this weekend. You know, got to get through this weekend. Once again, appreciate everybody in Waco who stood behind me for the last 25 years, supported me. You guys can go to stanmason.com. That's the website where you can catch the radio show and other information. My bio's there. You can contact my publicist, Pierre Starr, through there. You can go to the links that are on the show here, or you can go to blogtalkradio.com/Stan Mason. That'll give you the whole archive of the show. And I think we're at 91 or 92 straight shows, never missed a weekend, and we keep it real on here. We haven't rebroadcasted anything. So I appreciate everybody. Much love. You guys be careful, take care of each other, and look out for each other. And we're going to get out of here.
Ladies and gentlemen, please sit back because you are now about to go behind the blue curtain.